morning and welcome into the house of God. We're so glad that you made a choice and a decision to be here. This is God's house. You're in a safe house. And when I say that, I mean in every way. I mean, this is a place we come where we get married, where we sorrow together. We are better together. This morning, our message is going to be titled, The Struggle is Real. We're going to really get down to business. But as we begin, I just want to share that yesterday, I had the honor of officiating a homegoing service for Pedro Guzman Sr., and this is Carolina's father who is here today. And Carolina, I just want to say your dad would be so proud of you and you, Chuck, and what a beautiful family where everyone loves everyone, and during our time of sorrow, we sorrow together. So please continue to pray for Elva and Carolina and all of her family as they walk this, that many of us have went through this these times. So God is really good, and, you know, as we begin this message, I'm going to hand this to Ken. You know, we may be going through a time of great struggle, but I just want to say God is greater than the greatest struggle you'll ever have. You may have something, and people come to me and say, this is a really big problem, Pastor Pam, and I say, and I'm going to present to you a big God. He is bigger. He is greater than whatever it is that you're going through. So you have no reason to fear, tremble, or be afraid. So take courage today as we share. The struggle is real, but so is our God.
Yeah, when I saw the title, The Struggle is Real, my first thought, Pam, is that's true, the struggle is real, but we have a real God, a real answer also. I love the title of John G. Lake's book. It was called Adventures in God. And John G. Lake was an evangelist. He traveled all over the world. He found himself in some very hot spots and some spots where he had no money, some spots where he had no friends. And yet the title of his book was Adventures in God. Because when you go with God, you're really walking in miracles. And so all the times that he needed God to come through, God just, and I was thinking about that, about our life, that you and I go through a lot of struggles, but if you would look at it as opportunities for God to move in your life, that your life can be an adventure in God also. It's like, just like David, when I went against the bear, God came through. When I went against the lion, God came through. When I went against Goliath, God came through. When I went against Saul, God came through. And it's like his story was a story of trouble, but it was also trouble and triumph. Because first the trouble and then the triumph. The story of Lazarus is a story of trouble and then triumph. And are you going to speak on Lazarus tomorrow night, or are you still undecided?
I'm still undecided.
Still so undecided for tomorrow night. Might be Lazarus. Yeah, she asked me, and I voted for one of my votes was Lazarus. Because when we hear the story of Lazarus, if we think of it as a third party, that this guy named Lazarus was raised from the dead, it doesn't mean as much. But when you realize that God can take your life, that if you think your life is dead and you feel like, what? That, oh, I'm preaching her sermon. But these are my thoughts. I have no idea what her thoughts are. But okay. All right, I'm going to, she's telling me I'm stealing her thunder here. We've got enough. So maybe Lazarus tomorrow night. Praise God. I really did enjoy the worship. I know I say that every week, but I also enjoy it every week. And it is such an essential part of being with God. I was thinking about prayer today and struggles. And isn't this a cool thought? I mean, I know it's a simple thought. But when you pray, you are alone with God. It's you and God talking. I really take comfort in that. If you ever feel like your voice can't get heard, or you're just one voice in a billion, but when you call out to your Father, just like the woman at the well talked with Jesus individually, just like Jesus talked to those disciples individually, just as God talked to Moses, you are alone with God. And I love that thought, Pam, that there is a secret place, a place that you can be yourself and you can just cry out to God. So, yes, the struggles are real. And you know what? There's never been a promise that if you become a Christian, that just means everything's going to work out. As a matter of fact, there's some opposite promises that you are going to face some tribulation. You are going to face some persecution. You are going to have some voices rise up against you. And what Jesus' response to you and I when we say, we want you to respond to the fact that we're going through struggles, his response is very unusual. It's the same response that the angel told Paul when they were all about to shipwreck, when the ship was definitely going down, when it looked like everybody would die, God, give us a word. And Paul said, God said, cheer up. It's very unusual, isn't it? When you're in the middle of being a shipwreck and someone says, I have something to say, be of good cheer. Everybody smile and laugh. And you say, that is very unusual, but there was a reason Paul said to cheer up. Because in the end, how many of them died, Pam? None. No one. God rescued them all. And so what did Jesus say to us and to his disciples, which is the same as us? John 16:33. He's going to say the same thing. Isn't it funny? You know, he's not going to say, oh, poor baby. He's going to say, hey, cheer up. Put a smile on your face. And you're like, well, I'm going through some tough things. And Jesus, all right, here it is. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace in the world. You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Just Jesus is so positive because he knows the outcome already. He knows the outcome. And I will promise you what the Bible promises you, that if you will stay faithful to God, that he is going to promote you, he's going to raise you up, he's going to get you out of the pit, right? How many examples are there in the Bible? And we're going to kind of focus on the example of Joseph, but I don't want to talk about that because it's Pam's part. I want to stay on my side of the line here. Psalm 23. I know we know this, but like Tony said, sometimes we need reminders of what we already know. Yea, though I do walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a valley, and it's death. It's like, ooh, it's scary. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and that's the oil of the Holy Spirit. And we're continuing to pray that for this church, that we are all filled with the Holy Spirit, that we recognize his presence in our life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Before I forget and before I turn this back to Pam, you are not like a mountain or a statue. If you think of yourself, if you think of Mount Everest, it is the way it is. That's Mount Everest. It's how high it is. It looks the way it looks. And you go, that's Mount Everest. And you think of yourself and you go, that's who I am. I'm like a statue. This is me. Who you are on the inside is not something you can define. You are more like an art piece that is constant. I love these art programs that you can change them. You can erase things. You can draw something and go, yeah, that didn't work. Erase. And you can continually to refine it. You are not a piece of steel. You are clay that can be molded by God. So don't ever come to the conclusion about your own life, this is the way that I am. I've heard people say, well, I'm just a naturally mean old, you know, crotchety person. No, that's not the way that you are. Or like, I can't forgive people. No, that's not the way you are. I promise you, you're more like a piece of art that can be changed and modified, and you can be the person God called you to be, which, in case you don't know, I want to remind you, God has called you to be a gentle person. God has called you to be a peacemaker. God has called you to be passionate about, that's who you are. You want to know who you are. You want to find yourself. Find God, because you're made in his image and likeness. So that was just my thought from meditating this week, and I wanted to hope that blesses someone, because it blesses me that I don't have to say, but I am just that way. I'm just effective. God says, I'll work with you, and I'll make you more and more into my image and likeness, that we would act like Jesus, think like Jesus in so many different areas.
You know, that's a very good reminder, because we really are not who we think we are or who we say we are. We are who God says that we are. And God, just a reminder, God sees you totally different probably than you see yourself. You can be so hard on yourself. I told this short story one time, and I know I'm repeating myself, but it was about my father, and my father was wanting me to come to a special service here, and he said to me, I want a man to meet you. And I didn't want to come. I was very busy, but I went ahead and came because I love Dad. And he just went on and on to this man. I met this man. This is my daughter who I've been talking about. She's amazing. She's wonderful. She does everything for me. And I literally started thinking, who on earth is he talking about? Are you kidding me? He's saying things about me that I never knew about myself or never believed about myself, and probably actually weren't quite true, because I really wasn't living for God. And then I realized, I used to think that my dad wanted me to meet the man, but that's not what he said. He said he wanted the man to meet me. And it really humbled me, and it caused me to want to be that girl that my dad had just described. And I want you to see from the Word of God who you are, that you're fearfully, wonderfully made in God's image. That means you're created to look like God and to act like God too. And we should, of course, do a little bit better acting like God can. We may look like him, but sometimes we don't act like him. But if we know who we are and we really want to please our Father, and you understand, you will rise to who God has called you to be. And, you know, we are all going to go through hard times and difficult situations. I kind of look at Christianity as a whitewater rafting adventure that you just need to hold on for the ride. Some of it's going to be a lot of fun. It's really going to be fun. I love serving God. I love what I do. I love meeting with people. But I've got to tell you, there's been times when we hit some rocks, Ken. We hit some, yeah, and we needed the rock when we did. But I want to tell you that although we go through hard times, the enemy is going to come to you, and here's what he's going to tell you. He's going to say, the reason that you are going through all that you're going through, it's plain and simple. It's your fault. It's your fault. You did something wrong, so you might as well start trying to figure out what that is. That's not necessarily true. In fact, that a lot of times that is not true. The enemy has assaulted you because you're a child of God. He has. And another thing I want you to understand, and I want you to know that the person sitting next to you today that looks all put together, don't discount their pain either just because you're going through pain. I don't realize, maybe Ken, and he's not, but maybe he is. He's sitting here today, and he's pulled it together enough to be here, but he's going through something that it doesn't show on the outside. So just because I'm going through something, sometimes we can tend to be absorbed in our own struggle and forget that the person next to us is struggling too. There's a verse in Proverbs that I absolutely love, and this is what it says. Ken, it says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for the hard times, adversity. And I seen in the Word, and I'm going to tag this together, the Bible also says a friend. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Also using, I noticed those two words, friend and brother. So what that means is we are here on earth to help someone go through their hard times. We really are. We're here to love them as a friend, but to help them go through their hard times. It is not a true friend, Ken, for you to want to go to Disneyland with me. But I know that he's not that kind of friend. I know that when I'm sobbing, crying in the hospital, in the ER, he's sitting there also. That's a true friend. When it's hard to be a friend, when it's inconvenient, during the time of struggle. And to pray for someone, you know, when they're going through something, whether they know it or not, it's very good, and you should say it, to pray for that person. Another thing that the enemy will tell you when you're going through a difficult time, he's going to tell you that God has abandoned you and God is angry at you. He's just mad at you. He's not going to tell you why, because he's God and he don't have to, but he's really mad at you. Can I say something to you today? God is not mad at you. God is not angry at you no matter what you've done. He loved you enough. He does hate sin, but he loves people who do commit sin. Do we get that? And he forgives sin. So he's not mad at you. It's all been resolved. God took care of your sin problem before you were ever even born. He took care. And, you know, I like to say it like this. God did not just save us from our sin. That's really not the point, because we still sin, right? He saved us from the punishment of sin. If you sin today, if you sin tomorrow, I know this is hard to wrap your head around. Even if you do it intentionally, your sins have been forgiven if you have received the blood of Christ. So whatever your struggle, you're going to make it through. And I want to say this. I'm going to hand this to Kent. If you are going through something difficult, and probably you are, and you've already jumped on that whitewater ride, and you can't turn back now because you were born to this earth, what if I just told you it's going to be hell on earth, but heaven will be worth all the hell you went through here on earth, and you absolutely are going to make it? And here's why I know you're going to make it. You have a promise from your heavenly Father. I went to board a plane one time, and I was terrified back in my young days. And my father, I was just shaking. I said, I'm going by myself, and this, I just can't do this. I did not like flying. And my father looked at me, and he said, I promise you, you will be okay. You're going to survive this. You're going to make it. Now that I'm an adult, I realize that he wasn't flying the plane and that accidents do happen. But his words were still a committed promise. I'm going to be okay. And he knew that no matter what happened, I'm going to be okay. And that's what your father is saying to you today. No matter what your struggle, you're coming through and you're going to be okay.
I like the thought about how we judge ourselves too harshly, as Pam was talking about. And so I want to reiterate that as a prophetic word to everyone. You are not defective. You are not defective. You are not a reject in God's kingdom. You are the exact opposite of that. You were chosen by God for adoption. The thing about God choosing you, I watched this week several videos that were the same thing, and I just thought it was so cool. It's some of you may have heard, you know, people that are colorblind all their life, they just, some of them only see grays or browns, and bright red looks about like bright blue. And so they have these glasses, these chromatic glasses. They're expensive. They cost about $400. But I watched about 12 of these. People that had been colorblind all their life that had never seen color, and friends would gift them so that you can go to YouTube and watch these. And so the reason that I was so interested in this, these are people for the very, very, very first time in their life are going to see what red looks like, what yellow looks like, what green looks like, what bright colors look like. And some of them were somewhat prepared. They knew what was happening. Some of them had, it was a complete surprise. Someone just gave them a gift. But in almost every single occasion, no matter how tough the person was, no matter how unexpected it was, they ended up in tears. And because they were seeing something that they realized was there all the time that they had never seen before. And I was thinking, that's so cool to experience something, you know, that color that God made. It's like, and then there's a few videos of people hearing for the first time with the cochlear implants, and they turn them on and they hear someone say, I love you for the first time. And it's like, they're just crying because the whole sense has been opened up to them. And often when we see ourselves and often when we see others, it's through the judgmental eyes of the world. Why didn't they do better? Why, you know, why are they wearing that? Why are they the way they are? But God looks at everyone, just like Pam was sharing with the story of my dad. Some of what he was saying may have been statements of faith, you know, how amazing Pam is to looking into the future. If he only knew, you know, that it would pay such great rewards. But to have your father's approval means everything. And if you're sitting here today, I want you to know something. You have your father's approval. John the Baptist was in prison. What was he thinking? I don't know. But here he had served Jesus. Well, I kind of do know what he was thinking, because he sent his messengers to ask Jesus, are you really the one? I'm here in prison. Are you the one? And it's kind of amazing that after he gave John his answer, tell John, he quoted the Old Testament, that the Messiah, the blind would see and the deaf would hear. He said, go tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear. In other words, yes, I'm the Messiah. Because John would have understood, oh yeah, that's the Old Testament prophecy. But immediately after the messenger walked away, we could no longer hear what Jesus said. We get to hear behind John the Baptist's back what God really thinks of him. And what did he say? Did he say, I don't like people that get thrown in jail? Did he say, I don't like losers like John the Baptist? Or did he say, there is none like him in the kingdom of God? Behind his back. Imagine if you could hear God talking about you behind your back. And what if God said about you, that's such an amazing person. They are so fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Is because God sees you. I used to say it through rose-colored glasses, and what I meant is that he sees you through the blood of Jesus. He sees who he made you to be, who you could be. He looks at the seed and sees a full an apple orchard. He sees that seed multiplying into giant apple trees. He looks at little old you, and he sees the potential, what you can be, what you could be. He sees you through rose-tinted glasses. And just like that video of people putting on glasses and say, oh, I never knew it could be this way. Can you imagine if we could see each other through the blood of Jesus and realize how amazing everybody is? And instead of looking at people through the eyes of judgment to say, this person is fearfully and wonderfully made, and they are amazing. If we knew what God thought of us, I think we would be very, very pleasantly surprised. So we're talking about going through troubles and trials. We only have a plan J, Pam calls it. Not a plan A, not a plan B, but one plan, which is plan Jesus. And, you know, you're like, but life is so hard. Yeah, I know. Jesus knows. He knows betrayal. He knows hurt. He knows what it's like to cry so hard that the tears turn to blood. But the reason that we have hope is because he didn't say, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, good luck with that. He said, I'll be where with you. I'll be with you. And what did he call himself? A shepherd. Think of that relationship. If you're talking about your own safety, your future, you think the sheep with David had to worry about their future? Do you think the sheep that were with David had to worry about the wolf? If the sheep with David and a wolf came by, the sheep just said, hey, y'all, watch this. David's about to go to work with that slingshot. Come on. When you're a sheep by yourself in the wilderness, we should be afraid. But when you go with God, he's your shepherd. He's going to take care of you. He's going to lead you to places of water and food. Amen.
You know, it's interesting, you know, so many people are so afraid of what the enemy can do to them. It seems like, I've heard people say, well, it seems like the devil's after me and he's done this and that. The truth is, the good shepherd is a great analogy, because the wolf should have been afraid of the good shepherd, and often we're afraid of the wolf and we're afraid of what can go wrong. But with God, we can be so courageous, so strong. And in this life, when we go through struggles and situations, sometimes I've looked at situations and I've thought, how unfair and unjust. And I want to tell you this, in this world, nothing is fair. Nothing is fair, nothing is equitable, but I want to tell you that God is fair. In God's kingdom, he is fair and he is just, okay? And I looked at the situation of Joseph, Ken, and I thought about how the brothers of God gave Joseph a dream, and his father loved him, and he had the favor of his father. And of course, his other brothers hated him because he had God, the father's favor, and that's why the world hates you. You have the father's favor. And he had a dream. And many times people will hate you because of your dreams. They'll try to crush your dreams and squash your dreams. But here's the situation. I kept thinking how unfair it was that Joseph was doing what was right.
he was serving his father, and all these brothers were doing what was wrong. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to throw him in the pit. They finally wound up selling him. And it seemed like everything was working out for them, the brothers. Everything's working out. They've got money in their pocket, and they got rid of their brother. And it just seems like for them who did evil and wrong, everything's turning out just like they planned it. But your story's not over yet. Your story's not over yet. There may be people that oppose you and come against you, but your story's not over. And you have the favor of God. And God has given you some dreams too. And he is a God who keeps his promise. He's a father that you can count on, greater than your own earthly father. You know, I mentioned, referenced in Pedro's service yesterday, the song, because Pedro was such a good father. You're a good father. That's who you are. And then it talks about us. And I am loved by you. That's who I am. I am loved by the Father. Never forget that you have a Father who loves you and who's going to make everything all right. And Joseph did nothing to cause the trouble that came upon him. You do realize that, right? And he could have screamed out, "This is not fair, God," because it wasn't fair. And the same thing with Job. Job, the trouble. Ken, listen. Job, in the Bible says that every day he prayed for his children. And by the way, lots of children, was it 10? That was an all-day affair. So here's what God put on my heart. The knock to Job's door came during a time when he was probably praying for his family. Trouble comes unexpectedly when you're doing the right things, when you're serving God. Lord, I'm going to church, I'm praying for my family, and there's a knock at the door saying my children are dead, and there's chaos, and my cattle are dead, and I've lost my 401k and my investments. Your story's not over yet, Job. Joseph, your story's not over. Frida, your story's not over. Anna, your story's not over yet. Tony, your story's not over yet. I don't care how old you are. Ellen, your story's not over yet. God's got a plan for us, and he keeps his promises to us. So when you're tempted to scream, life is not fair, scream, God, you are fair, and you are right, and you care about me, and you love me. And it was the enemy who caused all of this trouble. It was not, you know, there is a devourer out there, but he can't touch me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, the word of God says. Do you wonder why there's no COVID cases in this church? There was one, and the individual wasn't even attending at the time. Do you wonder why all of the other places do have some to a degree? And that is no condemnation whatsoever. But we are fully trusting God. Yes, we're what? But we fully trust the blood. Every time I'm tempted to fear, when I have to go somewhere and I feel a little bit like I need a little extra protection, do you know what God has said to me every single time? You have full protection. You have me. I'm going with you. You're looking to the cross. I receive communion when I go places. I just want to tell you that whatever situation you're in today, if you're in the pit, if you feel down in the pit, if you feel like you've been sold out by every friend you have, your story's not over. It's going to end well.
And what a great thought that you can't be sold out for every friend that you have, because there is one friend that will stick even closer than a brother. And the Bible calls different people in the Bible friends of God. And you say, I wonder if God calls me his friend. Well, you know, as you draw near to God, God draws near to you. I believe that he does. I believe that he knows every hair on your head. Think about that. I think he knows. And it's funny, we will pray sometimes and explain to God what's going on, and God just patiently listens. But you could actually skip that. You could actually say, God, you know what's happening. And he does. He knows the very thoughts in your mind. Which I was actually meditating on that yesterday. that no matter how we appear to people on the outside, people might misjudge you one way or the other. You could be a really evil person and people think that they're giving you awards and stuff like that. They think you're amazing. Or you could be kind to strangers and everyone just says really nice things about you, but on the inside, there's just poison. Who you are, of course, what we do is important because what we do shows people who we are. But I think even more important than that is a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Because there's plenty of rapists that's never raped anyone before. There's plenty of arsonists that haven't started any fires. There's plenty of murderers that have never murdered anyone. You know what I'm saying? That if your thoughts are evil, it's the thought that actually counts. But that the idea that your thoughts, that God knows your thoughts, should not be a condemning thought. It should be a comforting thought. That who God created you to be, as I said, is a person, a very gentle person, a very loving person. And when you do examine yourself and you say, what I did was not kind, what I did was not reflecting Jesus, it's still not who you are. He's the maker. He reaches his hands in and shapes the clay. If you allow him, if you say, God, I want you to fix that part of my life. It's scary to think this thought about Joseph because it's scary for me. And this is what I've always said, and I've always believed it as a hypothetical. We know Joseph's story. We know how faithful he was. And we know that he stayed faithful even when he was falsely accused. He stayed faithful to God even when he was used by God. They forgot about him. They left him there in the prison. This is the scary thought. If Joseph had said, I've had enough of this trusting of God, and I'm turning my, if this is the way it is, I get falsely accused, and then here I am. The wicked prosper. Come on, have you ever looked at someone that is wicked, that becomes a multimillionaire, and you're like, well, maybe I should be wicked then. You know, look what happens to the righteous. People serve God, and look how hard they struggle. And look at someone else. They don't care a thing about God. And they prosper. And I tell you, the Bible has a lot to say that. Why do the wicked prosper? And God balances the books. If you say, I'm serving God and haven't gotten any reward, Jesus would say to you, you can't give a cup of water away without me paying attention to it. And the scary thought was that if Joseph had turned his back on God, all the plans that God had for him could have went away. There is a timing to it. And although you might say, I'm tired of waiting and waiting and waiting, boy, do I have good news for you. Although, and Pam had put something in the notes, I'm paraphrasing, that it took Joseph, she had put in the notes that it didn't happen overnight. And she's right. But she's also wrong that it did happen overnight. One day, he was in the prison, and the next day they're like, take a bath, get shaved, you're going to see the king. And then and right after that, the king said, You're next in command. And so if you're serving God and you're struggling with some things and like how come I'm not prospering in this, this should thrill you. Just like Joseph was storing up rewards. Every time he did the righteous thing, God says, let's add to that account. Because when we bless him, it's coming. It's going to come all at once, but it's going to come down manna from heaven. The heavens are going to part. So you are storing up rewards. You cannot give a cup of water without God recognizing it. And great is your reward. Amen. Talking about, is it going to be worth it? My goodness, it's going to be so worth it. Eye has not seen, or the mind has not thought. You cannot imagine what God has for you. It's so much better. In heaven, everyone's going to say, we knew it was going to be great, but we didn't know it was going to be this good. We knew the food was going to taste good, but we didn't know it was going to taste this good. We knew that Jesus was going to be bright, but we didn't know he was that bright. We knew that we were going to worship, but we didn't know it would be that good. We knew the presence, but we didn't know it would be this good. You're going to walk around your mansion and go, this is what I'm talking about. This is how you do a mansion. That's what I'm talking about. It's going to be worth it. It is worth it to serve God. Hallelujah. You give him your dime. You have nothing. You have nothing. You have pennies. You give God your nothing life. And he says, here's a crown. Here's a crown of righteousness. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing.
You know, it is staying faithful when it would be easier to walk away from it. It's staying faithful even when no one knows that you're faithful. I shared not long ago how I had an opportunity to stand up for a few of you in private when someone was tearing some people down. And nobody will ever know that, but I knew it and God knew that. And that is what God is to us. And we need to stay faithful to God. Now, God knows it, but to defend our God, to defend one another. And there is a satisfaction in doing what's right. I'm sure that Joseph, everything was so against him, and he probably had some dark days and went through some hard times. But he kept his resolve, even in prison. He was in a pit. He was in a prison. And he was there for a very, very long time, some years. But then there did come his day of promotion. He promoted, and then he got demoted. Then he got promoted again. And he was accused of things he did not know. Could you be faithful to God if people were saying that you did things that you did not even do? Here's my thoughts on that. You know, there's enough things that I did. Find something I did do to accuse me of, not something I didn't do. That's a really hard thing to be falsely accused. But God had his back. God had his back. And he was even able to help those very brothers who came against him. And Joseph stayed faithful because God had given him a dream when it seemed like all he had was a dream. But let me tell you what the Holy Spirit told me. He didn't just have a dream. He had God who gave the dream. If you have God who has given you a dream for your life, it doesn't matter what you go through. You can hang on to that because you know that God's going to bring it to pass. And if you're going through a painful time, I want to say this. God is a God of redemption, resurrection and redemption. And I'm not going to teach tomorrow's night's teaching, but God's going to redeem your pain. God did that for Joseph. He redeemed his pain. He vindicated Joseph. He walked before his brothers and said, I am Joseph, whom you sold so long ago, but I'm here to save your life. God lifted me up to save your life. And he said it with humility. I know that he did because God redeemed it. Job, here's Job. He lost his children. He lost everything. God gave him, I know this is hard, a whole new family, gave him all back, restored, and redeemed his pain. I believe that whatever pain you're going through, that God is going to heal it because we're talking about healing every Monday night. God's going to heal your broken heart. You may think that your heart has never been this broken, but he's going to redeem and he's going to give you back. Everything that it looked like the enemy took from you, he can't really take anything from you. Did you know that? He cannot take anything from you. He comes to steal, kill, and devour, but no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Even a tongue, if a tongue should rise up against me behind a closed door, if someone should decide to attack me behind a closed door, who is my defender? God is my defender. My character speaks for itself. Let me tell you, God knows who you are, and he can turn every test into a testimony, every trial into a triumph, and he can turn the mess of your life into a message too. He's not going to let you be put to shame. And I want to say this. because I know we're losing time. When you are tested, the Bible says, when you go through a test, you will come forth as pure gold. How many of you know how strong gold is? The strongest, strong. It is so strong. It is so valuable, and it is so beautiful. So once you're through that test, do you know that God even has purpose in the pain? He didn't cause your pain. No. No, the enemy caused Job's pain. The evil brothers caused Joseph's suffering. But there is purpose in the pain, and that is to make you strong. And it's one more thing that I don't ever want you to forget. You went through the pain you went through so that you can help somebody else in their time of sorrow and in their time of trouble. I thought of it yesterday as I was watching you, Carolina, bury your father and sit in the same chair that I sat in. I sat in that chair. I know what that feels like. If you've ever been through a divorce and someone else comes to you and said, this is just a living hell, you can go, I've been there. I went to court. I sat in court. I get it. Otherwise, could you really tell someone, I know what it's like to be in, I know what it's like to go through your trouble? No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. Until you've lost your 401k, don't tell me what it's like to lose. It's as simple as that. Until you've buried your child, don't try to tell me that you know what it feels like to bury a child. You can tell me you understand pain. I understand that. But don't tell me you know what it's like. But when you come through it, you can say, I know. I know. And I know something else. I don't just know your pain. I know the pain taker.
Jesus preached sermons, so sermons are, it's great to have sermons, but come on now. What's better than a sermon is when you're one-on-one with God. The woman with the issue of blood, the woman at the well. The woman at the well didn't get a sermon from Jesus. She talked to Jesus. He talked to her. And I always said that my favorite scripture in the Bible is, He needed to go to Samaria. I think the King James just says he needs to go to Samaria. Something like that. He needed to go to Samaria. Must need. He must needs. I like, he must needs to go to Samaria. You go, well, why is that such a great scripture? Because we know from the story, the background, that the disciples were tired. Jesus was tired. We know that was a long trip, but he had to go. Not to preach a sermon, because there was the woman at the well, and he had to go. And she was in the middle of personal crisis. She was in the middle of confusion. But when she finished talking to Jesus, there was hope. There was such hope. Come meet a man that knows everything about me. Come meet a man that gave me hope. And I love the stories of the one-on-one, when God talks to Moses individually, when God calls Abraham his friend, when God, talking about one of the best stories in the Bible, when God enters covenant with Abraham, and it's such a holy scene that Abraham has to fall asleep and see this in a dream where he sees the smoking flax, the smoking lamp go between the pieces, representing the Holy Spirit, representing Jesus, and the covenant that God has. It was such a holy, holy thing. And to know that God calls you his friend. And we are not like those that have no hope. Pam once said that, and I think it's in our notes here today, that if she thought that she served a God that had no hope, she'd just throw herself off a bridge. If you were an atheist, what's your hope? There is no hope. There's no hope of anything. But in David, we see this scripture where he says when his son dies, he can't come back to me anymore. I can't pray that anymore. But I can still go to where he is. And that's the gospel that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And that may not mean much to someone that has everything going on. But to have hope that God is on your side, every need will be supplied. To have hope that God sees your situation and he sees your heart. And if you can stay faithful, that he's going to come through. That means something to someone going through a divorce. That means something to someone who has a child in rehab. That means something to someone that's facing a critical medical diagnosis. And just like Joseph did not give up that dream, Pam, he didn't give up on that dream. If he had, he could have lost it all. But he stayed faithful to the dream. And I believe that God has some dreams for us. Hallelujah. What's our scripture, Pam? The dream scripture that we're going to have double joy, double blessing from the Old Testament. Pam, I'll let you close in prayer. Love you guys so much. Thank you for being here. Aren't you glad the snow is melting and God is moving? Amen.
It is so true. The scripture, Ken, is in Psalms. It's when the Lord turned our captivity, we were like them who dreamed. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our hearts with joy. Let's stand and go before the Lord. And we're going to close in prayer. But I like what Hagar says. She named God, the first name that she ever named God was El Roi, which means the God who sees. And a lot of people will tell me, I really wish I could have an angelic visitation. I wish I could actually see God like they did in the Bible. And I wish I could actually hear the voice of God. But you know what I say? I'm not looking to actually see God or actually hear God's audible voice. I'm just thankful that God hears me. I'm thankful that God sees me when I'm hurting. I'm thankful that he is El Roi High in my life. And we're going to pray and thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time, Father God, that we've had together. Father God, we know that it's doing something in our lives, Father God. We're not just going through an activity to show up at a church, but we're actually hearing your word. We're being encouraged, Father God. And that when we go through struggles in life, we'll remember who you are, because we heard this day that you're the one that turns our captivity. Lord, that we heard this day about Joseph and how you turned it around for him, you turned it around for Job, and you are turning it around for us. God, I thank you that you're working behind the scenes in these lives here that are here today. Father God, that everyone's going through something. I'm not stupid. Father God, you know that we're all going through struggles. We all have something in our lives, Father God. And sometimes it's things we just don't have the strength hardly to talk about. But Lord, we can talk to you, Father God, and you hear us. Father, we thank you for the cross, and we praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. Have a wonderful Sunday. Go have lunch.